Welcome to Refocus. I'm your host, Trevor Wilson. This is a podcast of Sunday school lessons that I've taught, some sermons that I have preached. I have various guests at different times. Basically, the whole idea is to just kind of refocus back on the Word of God, going back to those Bible stories, studying the Scriptures. Let's just kind of get out of ourselves, out of our own thinking, and go back to the Word of God and see what He has to say. I love those old Sunday school lessons when we were kids. We seem to have gotten away from some of those, just the bare bones bottom of what the Word of God, the meat and potatoes, if you will. So I hope you enjoy and pass along and share. Now, let's get to the lesson.
Hello again, this is Steve Wilson. We're back continuing our study once again in Matthew. We are into chapter 25. I believe in our last segment we covered verses 1 through 13. Jesus is giving some parables here, illustrations, if you will, about what the kingdom of heaven is like. So the first one we covered had to do with the 10 virgins, and we talked a lot about innocence, or state of innocence, and the fact that that's limited. When you become an adult, or when you get to a point where you recognize that you've sinned, or you realize what sin is, you become accountable at that point. So that innocence is gone. That cover no longer applies. So anyway, we're going into verse 14. And in this particular illustration that Christ gives, it has to do with what he calls talents. He's using a monetary term here, but in essence, they're gifts, abilities. It translates that way anyhow. That's the message behind it. And how they're used. So, you know, this particular illustration has to do with works. Works, of course, is always, that's the big question. I mean, among evangelical circles, we all realize that works won't get you to heaven. And that's illustrated in here as well. But we do recognize that, works have a role to play. The world, however, which is the majority of people, when I talk about the world, I'm talking about the lost worldview. The vast majority of people, saved or lost, have an idea that there's a heaven or a better place. You know, that's the term you use, hear a lot at funerals, a better place. And so, the world likes to believe that there is a better place. I think they also believe that there's a hell or there's a worse place. But the vast majority of them believe, God is a God of love, and, we're all going to go to heaven anyway, so we just do the best we can, and you'll be fine. It's amazing to me that people still believe that after all that Christ has done. And throughout history, the things that we have learned and recognized that Christ is the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But the vast majority of the world doesn't believe that. They believe that if you do enough good works, if you do the right thing, then when you stand before God, you're going to be fine. He's going to let you into heaven. That's the picture they have. This particular illustration here refutes that. So anyway, let's get into it. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as. So that's the comparison, or he's introducing it. He says, it's like this. It's like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. All right, let's start with this. Everybody has a gift. There's no such thing as God creating a man or woman, a human, and not giving them some type of ability or some type of resource that they are able to use in order to fulfill the plan that he has for every single individual. There's a plan for your life. God's got it all mapped out. He knows what he wants to do with you, and he's going to give you the ability to do it. Now, the second thing to notice here, though, is that they're not all the same. In this instance, you got three of them. One gets the most, one gets more, and the other gets the least. But it's not about amount. You know, it's just when it, you know, translate that into abilities, perhaps one has more exposure than the other. Perhaps more, one has more abilities, you know, may be able to speak, may be able to sing, may be able to do a lot of things, may play an instrument, you know, all that sort of thing. Maybe he's a better people person. So they do vary. But ultimately, it really doesn't mean anything. It's part of God's plan, and just like a machine can't run unless all the parts function the same. The on and off switch, all you do is just push the button and it's on. You push it again, it goes off. It has very little activity, very little to do, but without it, nothing happens, nothing runs. So, you know, there are different parts to this great machine that God calls humanity, and his plan, his overall plan, that require different approaches, different abilities, different styles, but they're all vastly important. So, you know, that's where he's going with this, all right? So in verse 16, it says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So he took the abilities that God gave him, or the talents in this case, invested them, used them, put them into usury, and doubled his money. You know, anything you do for God is always going to bear fruit. Now, we may not always see it. And sometimes, you know, in some cases, it may look as if no fruit is born. There have been missionaries who've given their lives to go into places and went there and seemed to be utter failures. Gone to a mission field and, you know, for instance, gone into the tribes of South America or somewhere like that and end up being killed. And then somebody else comes in behind them and builds upon that foundation that they established and has a great ministry. Well, does that mean that first missionary failed? Absolutely not. Without him, nothing would have happened. He was the on and off switch. So you may go your whole life and never realize your benefit, never realize the success of what you do. That's why he just says, look, just take what I give you and use it as I have instructed. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. So this guy did the same thing. He just did it with less money. But whatever God had given him, that he used, and it was doubled. So percentage-wise, it was exactly the same. They both doubled their money. And that's what's going to happen when you're serving God. Whatever you do, comparatively, it's the same. The benefit is the same. The reward is the same. It's just the world that says it's not. So don't listen to that. So then in verse 18, and he addresses the one that just received one. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained them besides 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We just need to recognize that our responsibility is to just use what God gives us. And don't worry about what everybody else does. Just focus on what you have to do and let God take care of the rest. He's got a lot out there and he's got a lot to do, and he's the one with the plan, not you. It's like on a football team. If you're a lineman, your job is to block a particular person on the opposing team, on the defense. Well, there are 11 players, but you can't block them all. You just got to focus on that one and depend on the others to do their job as well. Same way as it is with God. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then here we go. This is the guy that only had one. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. So he readily admits that God has the ability to increase whatever he chooses. So the amount is irrelevant. But he says, and I was afraid, verse 25. So right away he says, but I know these things in my head, I just didn't know them in my heart. And that's important. We'll get to that in a minute. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is that is thine. So he preserved what God gave him, and he gave it back to him. Thou oughtest therefore, his Lord answered him and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Boy, that's pretty brutal for him to call him wicked and slothful. But, you know, that's just what he did. He addressed him as a wicked and slothful servant. Those are pretty harsh terms. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not. You knew in your head. You know, you had the knowledge. And gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. So here's a guy who had no trust. He had no faith. A couple things I want to point out here. One is there's a philosophy among Christians that says don't make a big deal out of your faith. Don't be a fanatic. You know the Lord. You're secure in your relationship with the Lord, but you know it's not your job to go out there and try to corral other people and bring them in. You don't want to be a Bible thumper. I mean, that's offensive. People don't like that. I personally believe in going around the neighborhood, knocking on doors, and asking them if they're willing to talk about Jesus. Most Christians don't do that. No, most Christians don't even believe in that. And the reason is that it is offensive. The gospel is offensive because you're going around telling people you're a sinner. You need a Savior. It's good news, but people don't want to hear that because humanity likes to think that they can do everything on their own. And that's where the works idea comes in. I can get to heaven on my own merits. Well, that's the first thing. You ought not do that. You have a responsibility to share Christ every opportunity you have. We don't always do the best we can, but you have to have a mindset to do that. And, you know, if you have the mindset to do that and you're willing to give it a shot, believe it or not, God will open those doors for you and you'll get that ability. So you can't suppress yourself. So here's the question, and this is point number 2. If you're not willing to share your faith with others, are you really saved? Because that puts you in the same category as this guy with the 1 talent. He says, I know in my head. I realize Christ came and died for my sins. I have that knowledge. I realize I'm a sinner. And I know I went through the whole process of confessing my sins and asking Christ to come into my heart. But I stop when I think that I have a responsibility to tell anybody else. Though I'm created in the image of God, and that's what Christ did when he came, I don't assume that responsibility. So here's the question. Do you have Christ in your heart at all? You have him in your head. Do you have him in your heart? That's a very serious question that a Christian needs to ask themselves. It's a matter of life and death. He says, and so he says, thou also therefore take to put my money in the exchangers and so on. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him that, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even he that which he hath. And notice this, verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we all know what that's referring to. We all know that phraseology. So what he's telling this guy is, look, your works won't get you to heaven. No matter what, these guys didn't get to heaven because of their works. They got to heaven because they honored me, they obeyed me, because they had the faith and trust in their heart to go do what I asked them to do. See, works are designed in relation to heaven to be used to further the kingdom, not to get you to heaven. This guy refused to use them to further the kingdom. And because he refused to use them, God says, you don't really have that faith in your heart that you need to have in order to put this idea of works to use. So you have no interest in furthering the kingdom. Your interest is in yourself. You think you've got everything locked up and you're going to heaven and you're not worried about anybody else. So what really is that, folks? That's selfishness. That's a sin you really haven't confessed. This is a big deal when you think about it in those terms, that Christ asked us to share and do our part to further the kingdom of heaven. And if we're not willing to do it, do we really have Christ in our heart? So I'm out of time. We're down through verse 30. We'll pick up at verse 31 when we come back. Goodbye. God bless.